In this episode of the Bear Performance Podcast, and your mind is this pipe, right? And say it's like a 2-inch diameter pipe. And what you can accomplish on a regular basis is this flow of water. And that flow of water is moving at one speed through that pipe. Over time, as you grow, you develop, you learn, you build out systems and procedures that optimize the way that you're performing, that pipe starts to grow a little bit bigger. The speed of the water is not moving any faster necessarily, but you can move more water through that pipe at a efficient rate. That pipe, your mind, grows larger and bigger, and your bandwidth, your mental bandwidth, grows through that adaptation, just like a muscle. Welcome back to another powerful episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Nick Bear, founder and CEO of Bear Performance Nutrition. Every week, we bring you insightful stories, knowledge, and inspiration to help you reach your full potential in life, fitness, and business. If you enjoy the message we're promoting in this podcast, we would greatly appreciate it if you would leave a rating and review on the platform you are listening to. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes that embody the Go One More mindset. All right, guys, what's going on? Welcome back to another episode of the Bear Performance Podcast. Today is a solo one with just me. And we're talking time management. Time management is one of those topics of discussion that we receive questions about all the time. Me personally, the podcast page, a lot of the guests that come on the podcast receive questions in regards to time management. And we wanted to talk about it. I wanted to break down what is time management and how to get better, how to improve managing and optimizing your time. And before we really dive deeper into how to, I think we gotta talk about what is, right? Like, I remember when I was younger and like really young, I was in high school. I was early in college in my early 20s. And I just kept hearing these buzzwords of time management. You have to get better at managing your time. Time management this, time management that. And especially in college, it was being brought up, but I never really understood or knew how to implement. And I think it's one of those things that you need to fail at to truly grasp the understanding of how to optimize it. And the truth is, there are many ways to approach managing your time. There's a million ways. And the way I manage my time is probably really different from the way you guys manage your time, and, you know, vice versa. Everyone manages their time a little different because we all have different priorities and obstacles and opportunities and choices in life that we're making on a daily basis. Like, multiple times a day, we are making these choices that change the trajectory of what we need to do today, tomorrow, next week, next year. And that adjusts your timeline, right? So keep that in mind. There's no blueprint. There's no blueprint on how to necessarily manage your time, but there are principles you can apply to better the way you do. And as well as time management is really, it's a fancy way, this buzzword of describing the way you prioritize, minimize, and eliminate choices in your life. Really, you get better at saying no over time, but to like hammer that in again, it is the way you prioritize, minimize, and eliminate choices in your life. You have the choice, right? Like, I have the choice, you have the choice to do one thing as opposed to the other. And we've brought this topic up a lot in conversation on this podcast, but it is choosing one thing over the other, which is opportunity cost. And I still, like, I remember the day I learned about opportunity cost. I was in college. I was in economics class. I think it was microeconomics. I remember I had to take micro and macroeconomics in college. And I was overwhelmed and didn't understand or appreciate the topics of conversation at the time. Now, if I could go back to college, I would truly appreciate and want to learn more of. I'd go deeper into those topics of discussion and understanding. Opportunity cost is that if I choose X, I cannot choose Y. If I choose Y, I cannot choose Z. And we have these choices on a daily basis. If I choose to eat a cheeseburger, then I have chosen not to eat the chicken, rice, and asparagus. I probably made a bad decision there, right? That didn't invest in my health or the way I feel. But we have these opportunity costs on a daily basis with every decision and every choice you make. And that gets tied deeply into manage your time, because you have to prioritize, minimize, and eliminate choices on a daily basis. And we talk about this a lot with the BPN team here. We had a big meeting yesterday. I took part of the team downtown Austin, and it was a big brainstorming session. It was a visionary exercise. It was almost a steering committee, right? Like a lot of times in business or in life, there is this trajectory. Life is a trajectory. It's always moving forward. The only thing you can really do is steer that course through decisions with time management. Life is always going to move forward. Your friends, your family, businesses, everything is always moving forward, whether you want to slow down, stop or not. And the only thing you can do is steer it. And as our business grows, as BPN grows, what I've realized and learned as a leader is it is my job, it's my responsibility to steer the ship. Sometimes you can't necessarily control the ship at a certain point, and you probably shouldn't try to control the ship at a certain point. Your life is this ship, by the way. Sometimes you can't control it. It is moving forward, but what you can do is you can guide it and you can steer it in the right direction through choices that come with opportunity cost and time management. And if you steer it in the right direction for a long period of time that is consistent with an agenda that you are happy and proud of, that hopefully gets you to a point in life that you are successful, however you kind of deem what success is to you. And with this conversation yesterday with the team, one of those things that we were talking about was managing your time and the mental bandwidth that you have that is required to be able to manage your time effectively. I was talking to Ryan before we kicked off this podcast, and I was trying to get like a visualization of what this looks like. And bandwidth, I mean, think of internet speed. All right, we're going to break this down in terms of bandwidth. And this is what I'm talking about, how the mind works, how my mind works, how your mind works, how you can think about it, how internet works. And say when you're younger, you're just getting started in pursuing some sort of high performance lifestyle, business, nutrition, training, your work, building a family. And your mind is this pipe, right? And say it's like a 2-inch diameter pipe. And what you can accomplish either mentally or physically, more so mentally, on a regular basis is this flow of water. And that flow of water is moving at one speed through that pipe. And over time, as you grow, you develop, you learn, you build out systems and procedures that optimize the way that you're performing, that pipe starts to grow a little bit bigger. You know, it started as a 2-inch diameter pipe. Maybe now it's 3 inches and 4 inches and 5 inches. And that pipe gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But what happens is the speed of the water is not moving any faster necessarily, but you can move more water through that pipe at a efficient rate. That is the bandwidth of your mind over time. And that's how you get better at managing your time, managing the things you're doing, is the mental bandwidth that you have, the ability to do things on a regular basis and handle more decisions and make more choices, make better choices, delegate responsibilities. That pipe, your mind, grows larger and bigger, and your bandwidth your mental bandwidth grows through that adaptation, just like a muscle, right? Like when you're born, you are weak and frail. And as you grow and you start training, specifically, you go to the gym, you do, you know, chest day and back day, and you do lower body strength training day, and you do barbell squats. And what happens before you start ever squatting is your legs are probably twigs. They're like, they're chicken legs, right? And through the adaptation of strength training, you are breaking down, you are tearing apart those muscle fibers. And as you tear apart those muscle fibers, they have to rebuild and regrow. And you do that through taking time off from training. You do that from eating proper nutrition and sleep and hydration. And as those muscles grow back to fix those broken muscle fibers, they grow back bigger and stronger. The mind does the same thing. It grows, adapts, you break it down, you fail, it rebuilds, and it rebuilds stronger. Unless you're the type of person who keeps making that same mistake, that same failure over and over again, well, then you're just a psychopath because you're not taking that negative feedback loop and applying it to improving or getting better. And there are people out there that ignore the negative feedback loop. Please, before you go any deeper in this episode, don't ignore the negative feedback loop. It's there for a reason, right? So the ways that I don't manage my time, I think this is really important to identify, especially as we live in this age of social media and hustle culture, which I used to buy into this hustle culture stuff. I did when I was younger. And you see it, it's being promoted all over the place. It's like just nonstop, go, 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 from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep. The goal is that you should wake up and you open your phone and your calendar in your phone is blocked in a bunch of different colors from 5 a.m. until midnight. And it should be like that 6.5 days a week. Give yourself half a day of rest. We've grown in the space of hustle culture where it's promoted to a certain point of destroying yourself, blocking off all your time to be busy. Not necessarily productive, but busy. And it's not the way I like to do it. You know, even from early on, and I'll tell a little story in a little bit about like 2017 when I get out of the army, but I like putting things on my calendar. I like having blocks for meetings or things that I have to do. Maybe I have a podcast scheduled with a guest, or maybe I have a meeting with the marketing department. Maybe I have some quarterly counseling sessions or an onboarding call with a new agency we might be working with. Like, there are things on my schedule every single day. And there will be for a long, 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 long time. That's expected, right? You're going to have things on your calendar. Could be a date night. Could be a wedding you're going to, whatever it is. However, I don't like filling my calendar up for every minute accounted for from the time I wake up to the time I go to sleep. I personally don't like operating that way. Now, like I said in the beginning of this podcast, there are a million different ways to manage your time. Some people may prefer that, and that's okay. If that works for you, that works for you. If you need every minute accounted for, if you need to even like schedule your lunch break, or you need to schedule a 15-minute lay down, nap, meditation in the middle of the day, by all means, do what's best fit for you and how you best operate. However, I am saying that I don't operate best that way. I don't like having my calendar booked from morning till night. What I like doing is putting those things on the calendar that are required for that day and then leaving big open chunks of space that allow me to think deeply and be creative and be visionary, be a visionary. Like I operate very well in that space of having big open blocks of time that allow me to step away from whatever I'm doing, look big picture perspective, and identify areas that need improved upon at that moment in time. Maybe I'm seeing something that the marketing department isn't seeing because they are deep in it. And because I was able to really pull myself back from that in the weeds, turning wrenches day, and I now have this bird's eye view perspective, I'm seeing things that other people aren't seeing. And I encourage others to do that to see if it works for you. But I like having these big open blocks of space that allow me to pivot and maneuver and think deeply and have perspective and just kind of visualize what is next. What do I need to do? What do I need to move on? And, you know, going back to 2017 when I exited the military, when I was in the Army for 4 years, that's when I had every minute accounted for of my day. I mean, my day from 2014 to 2017 was I would wake up, say, 4 a.m., and I'd go in the kitchen, I'd pack my lunches and my meals for the day, I'd hop in my truck, I'd drive into the office, which is about a 35-minute drive, and I'd have a meeting with my company commander and the other platoon leaders, platoon sergeants, and then we would do PT in the morning from, say, 6 a.m. until 7:30, and then from 7:30 to 9, I would eat breakfast. I'd maybe grab a little nap there. I'd go into the office, I'd shower, I'd get everything I had to do for the day. And if we weren't going to the field, I was working my full-time job in the military as a platoon leader from, you know, 9 a.m. to 5 or 6 p.m. And I'd drive the 30 to 35 minutes home. I'd go to the gym and I'd film YouTube videos and I'd make dinner. And before I knew it, it was midnight, 1 a.m. after editing videos. And I'd do that every single day over and over again for a long period of time. Every minute of that day was accounted for. But I had to do that. I had to do that to manage my time, to make sure that I got my workouts in. I had time to prep my food, film YouTube videos, plan YouTube videos, edit, work my full-time job in the Army. And then when I transitioned out of the military in 2017, I now had 8 to 10 hours a day that were opened up. And because I operated for so long on such a tight schedule, what happened and what I learned was I became very efficient with managing my time. I had to. There was no other option. There was no other choice. Building a business, building a brand in my free time while being active duty military was difficult, but it taught me a lot about managing time. So what happened in 2017 when I transitioned out is I now had this skill, this ability to be efficient with managing my time. I was able to prioritize, minimize, and eliminate choices, but I had 8 to 10 extra hours a day. And instead of instantly using those 8 to 10 extra hours a day to schedule in every single minute of that day, what I did is I left these big open chunks, these blocks of open free time to have perspective, to think deep, to be a visionary, to be creative, to just visualize what I wanted to do and what that looked like and where that was going to put us in a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. And that paid off so much, so much. And it was reinforced when I read the book by Cal Newport, Deep Work. And that's why I'm such a big fan of that book, because I learned through experience and being efficient with time management, what these big chunks of open space did for me. So that's a long-winded way to say that I don't like filling my schedule minute by minute by minute from the time I wake up to the time I go to sleep, because I want to steer the ship. I want to be able to maneuver. I don't want that ship to steer me. With that being said, another way I don't manage my time is looking at someone else's schedule to manage my time. And it's really easy to do, especially with media and people talking about their schedule and their morning routines and their nighttime routines, which in all honesty, I think a lot of these morning routine and nighttime routine videos that are out there are a bunch of just bullshit. I don't believe half this stuff. But with that being said, it is dangerous to watch someone else's life, the way they manage their time, the way they set up their schedule and their day, and model yours off of that. Why? Because one, they are making choices that is steering the ship It is steering and guiding the trajectory of their life, their goals, their ambitions, their priorities in a specific and unique way for them. And if you try to apply that same time management strategy and calendar that they are applying to their life to yours and they don't match, well, then you're just wasting time. Then you're just inefficient. Like you are building inefficiencies in an effort to be more efficient with time management. And it's just dangerous, right? So I say that to provide insight in the way my mind thinks in terms of time management and prioritizing. But I really do want to reinforce that you need to find a schedule that works for you, because what works for you might not work for me. What works for me might not work for you, but there's principles that you can apply to. And one of those biggest principles to really keep in mind is that your mental bandwidth over time is going to grow. That pipe will grow from 2 inches to 3 inches to 4 inches to 5 inches to 10 inches and more, as long as you are testing yourself, you're challenging yourself, you are working towards improvements too. And as long as you keep testing yourself and challenging yourself and that pipe grows, your mental bandwidth becomes more efficient. You can handle more and you can become better at making the right choices that lead you in the right direction to continue steering your ship. Now, the ways I do manage my time, and as I was thinking about this episode in the way that I want to talk about managing time and ways that I believe are efficient, it just so happened that our media director, Jordan Utter, shared this in our Slack channel this past week. And my mind thinks this way, and I wanted to share this matrix with you guys because it's very applicable. It is the Eisenhower matrix. So Jordan, thank you for sharing this. And it's four quadrants, right? So the first quadrant is the way you can decide to manage your time and make decisions. If something is urgent and important, it meets both of those requirements. It's urgent and important, do it. And do it right now. If it's not urgent, but it is important, plan. Make a plan. Make a plan to do it or how to do it, how to accomplish it. If it is urgent but not important, delegate it. Find someone to help you accomplish it, a friend, a family member, a coworker, an employee. Hand that off. Hire someone to help you do it. And if it's not urgent and it's not important, eliminate it. Don't do it all. Get rid of it. Now, here's the caveat to that is I believe that, and I've been here before, I've made this mistake. We tend to do a lot of things that are not urgent and not important. And that's where we're spending a lot of our time. We're actually spending a lot of our time for most people in the last two quadrants. It's urgent, but it's not important. And we're doing it ourselves. That's typically because of a pride thing, an ego thing, or you're just being lazy with it. Those are things you can delegate. Hire people to help you do things. If you have the resources, you have the money to hire people to do things for you, hire someone to do things so you can spend your time elsewhere. Clear example for me. I pay someone to cut my grass every single week and manage my landscaping and my yard maintenance. I used to do that myself. And I would spend an hour to 3 hours a week cutting the grass, trimming bushes, cleaning up the flower beds. And I've always loved doing that. I mean, when I was younger, I'd cut people's grass. Like, that was my first business, if you call it a business. I would push my lawnmower all around town and I'd cut people's grass and I'd make some money off of it. And I've always just found like some solitude and enjoyment in landscaping. I mean, when I was younger, I wanted to be a landscaper, right? But what I found is I could hire someone to do that. As I became more busy and I had more priorities and more responsibilities, it got to a point where it didn't make much sense for me to keep spending the time every week doing this. So I delegated that. it was urgent. If I didn't keep up with my landscaping in my yard, my neighborhood would probably get pretty angry at me. And I'd have a note on my door saying, clean up your crap. So it was urgent, but it wasn't important for me specifically to do it. So I was able to delegate that. So a lot of people are spending a lot of time there, right? Also spending a lot of time in things that are not urgent and not important. And this is just, to be honest, a waste of time. And in most cases, these are things that you don't need to be doing at all. And it wouldn't even make sense to hire someone to help you do this. So apply the Eisenhower matrix to the way that you think, you make choices on what to do, when to do it, how to do it, who should do it, or if you should even do it at all. And that's a great tool to manage your time. And you would think like, man, this is too much to think, or you might think this, that it's too much to think about these four quadrants every time you need to make a choice. And it's not like in your back pocket, you have like this laminated sheet of paper that has four quadrants that tell you to either do, plan, delegate, or eliminate, but just be mindful and aware that this Eisenhower matrix exists for a good reason. And you can just, you might be applying it to your life right now, right? Like I've been applying these lessons to my life for years before I even knew of what the Eisenhower matrix was. And it just makes sense. It just becomes common knowledge. So just start applying those principles to your life to become better at managing your time. With that being said, what is important and what is urgent? When we think of urgent, it is things that have to be done like right now. But the question is, does it? Does it really have to be done right now? And when we think of the term, the word important, is it actually important? And one of my favorite quotes that was also shared by Jordan Utter a few years ago, actually, is that a lack of intentionality leads to a repetition of what is easiest. And I've loved that quote so much. I mean, I remember the day that I heard that quote from Jordan. It's when the media team was still back in their previous offices of Unit Suite 360 that I'm currently in right now with a few other team members. And I walked in to talk to Jordan about a project, and I saw he had this sticky note on his computer. And on that sticky note was scribbled, lack of intentionality leads to a repetition of what is easiest. And I loved that so much. I printed that on a big old poster. I framed it and I put it in the office because everyone needed to see that every single day. Intentionality, like being intentional with what you're doing, what you're saying, why you're doing it, will apply to urgency and actual importance. And sometimes we go through the rhythm and the motions every single day. You know, we're checking the box, we're moving through the motions. And I think sometimes that's a dangerous pitfall of scheduling your time minute by minute from the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep, is that say you have 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 8 to 9, 9 to 10, you know, you have these blocks throughout the day of what your schedule is. And after one is done, you check it off. After two is done, you check it off. After three is done, you check it off. And you're moving through the motions. And this can be super dangerous if this happens day in and day out, where it's show up to the meeting, meeting's done, check. Go watch this video course online, done, check. Go through this motion, check and check and check. And before you know it, you're just checking boxes every day from the time you wake up, time you go to sleep, day in and day out. And it lacks intentionality. And when it lacks intentionality, you have a repetition of what is easiest. And what is easiest is just checking that little block, like taking your pen and just checking it. It almost reminds me of like the movie Click with Adam Sandler. And within Click, you know, what the movie was all about was he wanted to skip through the boring parts of his life to get to the more fun, interesting, engaging promotions, vacations, more money, more happiness, parts of his life. So he could click a button and it would go to that next phase. But sometimes he would skip too much. He would skip years and years and years before he had that promotion or he had that pay raise or another fun, engaging, interesting part of his life. And that is almost like the rhythm we fall into when we are just checking the box. And that's why I like these big open spaces of time on my calendar where I can lead with intention. There's intentionality, there's purpose behind everything that I'm doing. That is managing my time. I want to be in control of my time, not necessarily the time that it is spent and I'm doing that one thing, but how it is spent. What am I doing during that time? Am I being busy or am I being productive? Two completely different things. And it took me a long time to realize there's a difference between being busy and being productive. Now, what these blocks kind of can look like is I think of my day from a time management perspective in terms of two different blocks, maybe three. I have one block, which is the big blocks of open space that allow me to step back, have perspective, pivot, adapt, be creative, be mindful, think of just visions of how we're going to solve problems. Especially in a startup space, you know, a startup business, it's a lot of just problem solving. I like having big open blocks for that. And then I have my things that I have to do every single day, which are hard-coded into my calendar. I have meetings, I have podcast recordings, I have, like I said, quarterly counselings, all these different things that are always on my schedule and always will be. They're hard-coded. They both have intent, they both have purpose, and they both guide and steer the trajectory of my life. And then there's these things that are consistent habits and routines in my life that allow me to, they allow me to have the bandwidth, the mental bandwidth to focus on things that, I don't want to say matter more, but require more bandwidth. So we go back to that pipe analogy. As the pipe gets bigger and bigger and bigger as you grow and adapt, and you have more mental bandwidth, that allows you to think with intention and purpose and reasoning. But there's always going to be these things in your life that you have to do. Like, I know I have to wake up right now during marathon prep and I need to log a certain amount of miles. I know that I need to prep my meals every single day so I have my nutrition that allows me to recover and grow and train the way that I train. I know that I need to get dressed every single morning. I need to have clothes. I need to do my wash. I need to make a choice of what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, how I'm going to train. And I remember hearing the story about, I think at the time, it was Mark Zuckerberg. And maybe Steve Jobs as well. And when I was in college, I was a business minor. I was a nutrition major. And we were hearing topics of conversations about traits and characteristics that these high performance entrepreneurs or leaders do on a regular basis. And one of those things that I heard people talk about was, and I remember it to this day, someone said, Mark Zuckerberg wears the same color pants, the same colored shirt, same belt, and the same shoes every day. I thought, why does he do that? He's got all this money. Why isn't he wearing all these this cool fashion built around culture and what's trendy and what's in and what's not and just the know of? He's got to be able to hire a stylist or have someone on staff that's like handing him his clothes every single day. But here's the thing. When you wake up, some people spend 10, 20, 30, 40 minutes, maybe an hour plus every single day deciding what to wear. to go to work, to go to the gym, to go for dinner at night, to go on a date. Sometimes people spend a lot of time thinking about that. Sometimes people spend a lot of time thinking about what they want to eat. Well, what should I meal prep for tomorrow's lunch? I think I'm craving salmon. I'm going to go to the grocery store. I'm going to get some salmon. And then I'm going to go to this other store and get the special rice that I like. Before you know it, it's 3 hours later to prep a lunch for the next day. Or it's you wake up in the morning, time for breakfast. You spend 30 minutes on Pinterest looking for a recipe of a new flavor of cooked oats that you want to make for breakfast. And these things add up, right? Like, we're spending our limited mental bandwidth on decisions that can be regulated. Like, they can be simplified, right? So, like, one thing that I like to do is, and you'll see it, I'd show up to work every day in sneakers or boots, jeans, and a t-shirt. And I have a bunch of t-shirts in my closet. I regularly wear maybe 10 of them. 10. 10 shirts out of, like, the maybe 100 shirts I have in my closet. Because it's simple. I like wearing a black t-shirt because it doesn't show me sweating if I'm sweating that day, or I end up somewhere that's warm and hot. I don't want pit sweat all over the place. So, like, a dark colored t-shirt, a pair of jeans, and boots or sneakers, and a hat. You're going to see me in this outfit 95% of the time because it doesn't require a lot of time and choice every single day or the night prior. Same thing applied to my nutrition and my meals. I eat, like, the same few breakfasts. I eat the same few lunches and the same dinners and snacks in between almost every single day. Like, these guys in the office see me at 10 a.m. every single day. I go to the fridge, pull out my lunch, throw it in the microwave for 3 minutes. It's either ground beef and rice or ground beef and potatoes. And I throw some salt in there, some ketchup, and I eat it while I work. And that saves me so much time because I know every single week what I need to buy at the grocery store, what I need to prep, and what I need to make. And that concept, I mean, that's why years ago I started making overnight oats for breakfast. And I started making overnight oats when I was in the Army because I knew my mornings were so jam-packed and full that the night before I'd mix up. At the time, it was like oats, protein powder, peanut butter, raw cacao, some honey. I used to put in some, like, pumpkin puree in there. And I would just mix it up. I put that in the fridge. I let it sit overnight. And in the morning, in between PT and going to work, my breakfast was ready. I could eat that in a matter of 3 minutes and save time for the other things I needed to do. And then that evolved over time to the protein sludge bowl. When I got out of the Army, I had more time available to, you know, when I say more time available, a few more minutes to make a bowl that morning of, and I didn't have to do it the night before. So then after my morning run, I'd mix up my sludge bowl, which was protein powder. It was whey protein powder, and it still is sometimes, pea protein powder. It's like a plant-based and a whey-based protein powder. And I'd add honey, peanut butter, raw cacao, flaxseed, chia seed, mix it up with some milk, and I top it with cacao nibs, unsweetened coconut flakes, and a banana. And that was the evolution from the protein, you know, the overnight oats, the protein sludge bowl, because it was convenient, because minutes have always mattered in my life, whether that be in the Army, having a few minutes between PT and being at the office to meet with my commander, or in the morning now between my morning run, which can be up to 12, 14 miles during this marathon prep, to having to shower, eat, and be at the office to build the business and lead the team. Minutes have always mattered. And with the products we launch here at BPN, there is always intentionality and purpose behind every product that we create and we build. And this story, this product always comes from a specific spot in either my life or a life of someone on the BPN teams. And we're launching a product shortly this month, the month of May, and it is called Strong Food. And Strong Food was created and produced with the concept that minutes matter for a lot of people. Whether you are a busy entrepreneur and business person, or you're a mom or a dad or an athlete, or you're in the military or law enforcement, you're an EMT, you're a service member, minutes matter. You're on the go. And Strong Food was built off this concept of this evolutionary process of when I used to eat overnight oats in the Army and then the protein sludge bowls post-Army and now. So we took those ingredients from those two recipes, like oats, we added sweet potato powder, whey protein isolate, pea protein, chia seed, flaxseed, MCT powder, in the chocolate, there's cacao, in the cinnamon roll, there's cinnamon, naturally flavored and sweetened. And we took those ingredients and created what is now a whole food meal replacement powder called Strong Food. And it's got about 40 grams of protein per serving, about 45 grams of carbs with some good sources of fiber in there, and about 14 grams of fat. Strong Food is our way of creating a product around a story for people who live busy lifestyles, and minutes truly matter. And there's intention, there's purpose, there's a story, there's a reason behind it, right? Because we believe in managing time. And that managing time is prioritizing, minimizing, and eliminating choices in your life that are holding you back. So Strong Food is one of those products that have evolved through what we have experienced as busy people, high performers, trying to get after it and accomplish and reach our goals, but not compromising on our nutrition. So that's a product that we're launching here in May that we're super excited for. And by focusing my time on things that for me drive the ship, I don't say drive the ship, but steer the ship at a greater velocity on a better trajectory, I build these consistencies into my routine, into my life, like not having to make choices about my nutrition on a daily basis. I just keep it consistent. I know what I'm eating. It's pretty much the same foods, same times for a specific purpose and reason. I wear pretty much the same thing most days because it eliminates the necessity to make choices of what I'm wearing for the day. I'm not wasting time. I'm spending my time. I'm spending my mental bandwidth on things that really require some vision, some creative thought. And it comes back to asking yourself, are you being busy or are you being productive? Because for the last 10 years of my life, maybe not necessarily 10, but when I got out of the Army, so say last 5 years of my life, you could say 10. I mean, even when I was in the Army on the weekends, I found a lot of value in this. But when I transitioned out in 2017, I found even more value in this. But when I wake up, or I go to sleep the night before, and I see a day, which is rare, that is completely empty. I have no meetings. I have nothing that I have to do. It's not hard-coded into my calendar. Those are my favorite days. Now, they're not my favorite days because it allows me to be lazy or sleep in. I still wake up at the same time. I knock out my run. I do my morning routine. I get to the office. But what it allows me to do, having this open schedule, is that I've managed my time to allow this big block, a whole day, to have pure, purposeful intention behind what I'm going to do. I can make the biggest impact on these days. I can move the needle for the business, for the team, for people, for my life the most in these days, because I can truly pull back and have big picture perspective on where to spend my time from the time I get to the office to the time I go to sleep at night. I can go work with teams. I can develop. I can communicate. I can pivot. I can grow. I can stay back, big picture perspective, and identify where's our weaknesses, where's our strengths, where do we hone in on, where do we improve? Man, those are my favorite days. And for some people, those might be the worst days. You might see days like that where it's completely empty and it makes you nervous. You don't know how to spend it. But for me, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to get called up. It's an opportunity to make a big splash, a big impact with, not for, but with the team. But then again, some people like having that whole day, minute by minute, scheduled out. You have to find out the way you best operate and what works for you. But it takes time. It takes time to find out your best way to manage time, where the opportunity cost is and exists based off the choices you're going to make. But at the end of the day, you have to keep in mind and realize, and I always am, that life is moving forward. Life is on this trajectory. The people around you, the things, the missions, the business, it doesn't slow down and it's not going to stop. And once you hop on that train, you're on that train. The only thing you can do is guide and hopefully steer the trajectory through decisions and choices and management to guide the trajectory, steer the trajectory of your life the way you want it to go and where it goes. So that is my episode on time management, things I don't like to do, things that I do, why I do it, and I hope it helps you guys out a little bit. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Bear Performance Podcast. Please leave a rating and review on the platform you are listening to if you enjoyed it. It helps us to grow and reach more people with the intent of changing lives through the Go One More mindset. If you are ready to take your health and performance to the next level, head over to bpnsubs.com to take the first step.